How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 15 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes and search Locked On Thunder to subscribe to the podcast today. You can also leave a review there, hopefully 5 stars, but if not, whatever. I'm doing this one Vegas style. I'm sitting in my hotel room at the Monte Carlo. It's my last night here. I've got my mojito on the left. I got my pants off. I'm ready to go. And first on the agenda today is Blake Griffin. I have an article on Blake up at normantranscript.com. You can find that in the sports section on the site or, you know, on the blog, Thunder Road. That's my blog, all Thunder stuff there. That's under the sports tab on the site on normantranscript.com, or you can just go straight to normantranscript.com/sports/Thunder Road for my list of articles there. So Blake, there are Blake rumors. There are always Blake rumors, every day now. He's getting traded east one day, he's getting traded west another day, he's getting traded middle another day, and the speculation begins. It seems like it's beginning with a new team every week, that the Clippers are going to trade OU alum Blake Griffin. Not alum, product. He left after his sophomore year, but close enough. If the Clippers won't keep him, and I've gotten no indication that they actually want to trade him. It seems like a lot of this stuff is speculative. So I've gotten no indication, but if they do hypothetically want to get rid of him, where does Blake go? Naturally, Oklahoma City tends to come up in the conversation, and I've seen people suggest that on Twitter, or I've seen not just, you know, random Twitter eggs, I've seen smart people, writers, whomever else, suggest that Blake Griffin will be a good fit for the Thunder. We have this weird obsession with athletes going home these days. You know, LeBron did it, Dwayne Wade did it, so now it's like everybody must do it. It's one of the weirdest generalizations that we have in sports today. It's, you know, hey, this guy signed in one place that means a lot to him, so now this other totally different person is going to sign in another place that might mean just as much to him. Maybe. Who knows? And we assume, we project that one guy's opinion onto another one. Griffin's from Oklahoma. He grew up in Oklahoma City. He went to OU. So if he's available, and he's probably not anyway, but if he is, we assume the Thunder are the perfect place. And I'm royal weeing right now. I realize we don't all think this, but some do. The Thunder would sell seats if Griffin came back, for sure. They'd be able to market the local kid. The local kid who, you know, OU fans rooted for, and there's obviously a huge carryover, and either that part of the Venn diagram between Thunder fans and OU fans, that's a pretty big sliver right there. They get a star to work with Russell Westbrook if they brought him back. That would be pretty cool. Depending on what they gave up for him, they could get better in the upcoming season. But whatever trade is possible for him, it probably wouldn't make sense for basketball reasons. And that's probably one of the reasons why we haven't actually heard the Thunder's name come up in any real Griffin reporting. Before you make any move in this case, that's a trade or a signing or whatever, a transaction. Before you make any move, you have to ask yourself, what's the end game? What's the goal? I think where people get in trouble in evaluating transactions is they evaluate them as independent actions, but they're not. One trade leads to a signing, leads to another trade, leads to another signing. Everything is linked in that sense. Roster pieces don't just complement each other, but trades and signings do also. You can't necessarily do them one-on-one. You can't evaluate them one-on-one. Yeah, bringing in Blake Griffin on the surface would be great, but you need those complementary moves to see how that would work. And that brings us back to Blake. If the Thunder were to go after him, and remember, this is totally hypothetical. There's nothing out there that says that they will, even though there's some stuff out there that says that they should. The Clippers aren't actively dangling Blake, to my knowledge, either. And the Thunder haven't done anything to make a move for him. It's speculation, but it's fun to talk about hypotheticals. It's fun to talk about trades. If the Thunder asked themselves, how would a Griffin trade fit? I'm not sure how the answer could come out positively. The goal of this whole thing is to put together a championship caliber roster at some point, right? Maybe the Thunder are a piece away from getting into the top 2 or 3 in the West again, but that's without losing someone. If it's bringing in Griffin on his free agent contract when he hits free agency next year, that's great. He's a great player. He might immediately become the best passer on the team. He can shoot out to 20 feet. He's got an amazing handle. He could run with Westbrook. I mean, he would fit in that sense, and he is, I think you can still argue, when he's healthy and he's going strong, people forget how good he was in the 2015 postseason. I mean, he is as good of a power forward as there is in the league. But bringing over Griffin and making him a great fit with this roster is along the lines of, you can't lose Adams too. You can't lose Sabonis. You can't lose Oladipo or whoever else they'd have to give up and what that Griffin deal would be. Trading for Griffin would handcuff the Thunder too. And that's really the biggest issue in all of this. It may be the most important part of this, actually. So Griffin's a free agent, as I said before, in 2017. Think about how much the uncertainty of his contract situation would complicate things, along with Russ's upcoming free agency. Imagine how bad things would get if Griffin came to Oklahoma, then he and Westbrook skipped town at the end of the year. The Thunder would be left with nothing. No more assets because they just traded them for Blake. No more stars. And it's not like the Thunder have a history of signing free agents. They wouldn't have another way to make up for losing Griffin and Westbrook, and they would have just lost a ton of assets on top of that. Of course, I keep hearing things about how the Thunder should trade for Blake, and even if they wanted to, that premise ignores the fact that I'm not sure the Clippers are even a decent trade partner for him. Or I should say the Thunder are even a decent trade partner for the Clippers in this. Chris Paul's a free agent after this year too, and he's on the wrong side of 30. The Clippers have to win now in order to impress him. You can't imagine the Clippers want to see Paul leave also. And you can't imagine that they want to see him leave because they closed their window, they closed their championship window, or at least pushed back their championship window by trading a bunch of young, by trading for a bunch of young guys and giving up Blake, who's a championship caliber player. If the Clippers are trading Blake, which again, no indication that they are, but if they are, it would be in a deal that made them better right now. Why in the world would it be anything otherwise? Especially when the team It thinks it can re-sign Chris Paul, and it thinks it can re-sign Blake Griffin. This isn't a situation where they'd be trading him because they're worried about not re-signing him. So you need a third trade partner, and you can find that third trade partner. It's possible, certainly possible. We see three-team trades all the time. It just makes things a little more complicated in the Thunder trying to deal for Blake Griffin. But either way, from the Thunder perspective, the trade's not necessarily worth it. And just because Griffin is from Oklahoma doesn't mean that projecting what other guys did mean he'd want to come to the Thunder no matter what. And because of that, you can't risk, if you're the Thunder, giving up all of these young pieces that they have in order for what it may end up being just a rental. Twitter question time from @Rach585. When will we know for sure if Russ is staying next season or being traded? My heart can't take this uncertainty. Well, I think your heart is going to have to take it a little bit longer. I don't know if Russ is signing the extension. It's possible he could extend for an extra year. It's also possible that if he extends for one extra year, then the Thunder still might end up trading him because his trade value is higher if he's on if he's under contract for 2 years as opposed to 1 year. You know, we've seen guys get traded with 2 years or 1.5 years left on his deal. You know, that's why part of why the Jazz were able to get back so much for Deron Williams when they traded him to the Nets in 2011. It was because people were surprised when they traded him because they thought he still got time on his contract. But part of the reason the Jazz were able to get back Derek Favors and a bunch of other pieces in that deal was because they were giving him up with a year and a half left. And in the worst case, it wasn't a half a year rental or 1 year rental. So, you know, if he extends, which if he were to extend, I don't know if it's going to be for more than 1 year because he probably wants to sign a max contract as a 10-year veteran in 2018. Otherwise, even if he does want to stay, I don't know if we're going to know for sure until the trade deadline. And that's a long ways away. I mean, that's 7 months away. We'd have to wait till February for that one. The Thunder, it makes sense to trade Russell Westbrook if you don't know. I've gone over this a lot before, but I don't think you can say it enough. They can't lose Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant in successive offseasons and not receive anything back. You can still get a lot for Russell Westbrook for a year of Russell Westbrook. You can get a lot for a half a year of Russell Westbrook. You're just not going to get as much as you would for a year and a half or 1 year or 2 years of Russell Westbrook. But you can still get a lot back for a half a year. So if the Thunder are reeling, you know, if they're playing 500 ball, if they're, you know, I don't predict it to happen, but if they're playing below 500 ball, maybe they sustain some injuries, whatever it is. Or maybe they just get a midseason indication from Russ. Hey, I'm not coming back. Maybe Russ says that. Maybe his agent informs the Thunder. Maybe his agent informs Presti. Hey, I'm not going to come back. I'm telling you now. Maybe that's when the trade happens. So we don't know. It really could happen at any moment. And until there is a rule set in that says he's not going to get traded, or until he signs a contract for the long term with the Thunder, I don't think we can say with any sort of certainty that Russell Westbrook is going to be on the Thunder in 2017 or in 2018. Next one from Jason Carpenter. What did you think of David Griffin's comments about Presti on Woj's podcast? I thought this was interesting. David Griffin is the general manager of the Cleveland Cavaliers. He's been there for a little bit. I'll quickly paraphrase what Griffin said on Woj's pod. That's Adrian Wojnarowski at Yahoo Sports. You can listen to his pod on The Vertical. If you want to listen, I believe it's at about the 56-minute marker to about the 59-minute marker, if you just want to fast forward to that. I'll paraphrase it for now. It's from yesterday, or from Wednesday, I should say. I'm recording this Thursday night. It'll go up Friday morning. So Griffin said on the podcast, basically, they were talking about relationships with GMs and kind of how that facilitates trades and how a general manager's reputation can affect how you approach them. And Griffin basically said there are some general managers that almost intimidate other GMs, and you want to be a little more cautious around them. He described Sam Presti specifically as a guy, he called him cerebral, as a guy is specifically cerebral. And it was in the context of talking about GMs who can later embarrass you on certain trades and how GMs might be a little bit more careful when they approach Sam Presti or just about approaching Sam Presti regarding making particular deals. What are my thoughts? I'm not surprised. That seems natural. I mean, look, I think something that in some ways we overcomplicate general managing. In other ways, we totally undercomplicate it. We think it's just making trades, and we ignore the way how much it has to do with running an organization, setting a culture, helping players. Like, you're not just making trades and signing guys. You're doing so much more than that. But at the same time, I think we almost overcomplicate it. A lot of trade conversations just from and I get this impression from having these conversations with people who work for teams. Some trade, not all of them, some trade conversations almost just go down in similar ways like they would in our fantasy leagues. I mean, it's almost similar, and some of the language, some of the lingo, some of the strategies and the way that we approach things, it's almost like our fantasy leagues in some ways. And I think that's a thing that we have in fantasy, right? Like, when you've been playing in the same fantasy league. So I was basically in the same fantasy football league since like eighth grade with basically the same group of guys all the way until I just pulled out of the league this year. They're a little upset with me. But all the way up until about this year. So I've been in that league for like 12 years, 11 years. And it's all the same guys. And we don't trade anymore. And the reason nobody trades anymore is because it's 10 of my friends who I've had since I was 14 years old. And we have all screwed each other over at some point in some deal, so we don't trade with them anymore. And that has happened with every single one of us for the most part. And so now no one makes trades in the league anymore. It never happens. And it's because we just remember that time in 10th grade where, you know, my friend Raph totally ripped me off on a deal, and now I don't want to make a deal with him anymore. And it makes the league a little more boring, but it also kind of makes the league more funny. And I think now it's not quite the same thing, but in some ways there are similarities in that mentality. You see a guy when your livelihood's on the line. You see a guy like maybe Sam Presti, who I think a lot of GMs have a lot of respect for in terms of his drafting, in terms of some of his trading. Obviously, not every single move has worked out for Presti, but I think he's an overall successful and good general manager. I think some GMs see a guy like Presti, and it doesn't have to be Presti. There could be other guys. And see a track record, and they think, I'd rather go to another guy who I think I could probably get an edge on. That's not surprising for me to hear. I think you scout out your competition, and you try to pick out a guy that you think you might be able to take advantage of. But I thought it was funny. I did think it was funny to hear David Griffin admit that specifically with Presti. I wasn't surprised to hear him say that in general. But when he said Sam Presti's name, and he was the only general manager he named in that context, he named other GMs that he thought were really good GMs, and people didn't really note as really good GMs. I think he said Dennis Lindsay. I think he said Ryan McDonough. And he said somebody else who I can't remember off the top of my head. But I did think it was interesting that in that context he mentioned Sam Presti. I don't know if he meant to do that or not, but it was – that part was the interesting part to me. The rest, the fact that that exists, that mentality exists within GMs, it wasn't shocking. Before we head out, remember you can head on to iTunes, subscribe to Locked On Thunder there. If you have questions, comments, email lockedonthunder@gmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter, @FredKatz, F-R-E-D-K-A-T-Z. Log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs. If you heard that sound effect in the background, that was me spilling the mojito. So that was really graceful. This is only the first mojito. There might be more in Vegas to come, though. That's going to do it for today. I'm back with you tomorrow for more Thunder talk, more NBA talk. Until next time, Locked On Thunder is locking up.